All right, we're going to move into a time of testimony. Testimony is a time of worship in which we praise God and in which we encourage and challenge one another. And so first up is Kai Garmo. So Kai, are you in the house? We would love to have you up here, Kai. If you're, are you ready or do you need time? Seriously, if you need a moment, it's okay.
Telling testimony. Yes. Okay. So there's two quick things. What time is? I want to make sure I'm quick here. So I have been, for those who have eaten with me in any capacity, know that I have been, I have struggled with gluten and dairy, huge restrictions. Many of my friends say, well, then what do you eat? Totally understandable. And I've been like that for over 20 years now. So it's like quite a thing. Thankfully, in the past handful of years, some food has gotten a little bit better. But so I've been struggling with that. And God speaks to me a lot through my dreams. Even one of the outpourings of the Pentecost is that people will dream dreams. And I do feel like that there is something in that symbolic language that can get past our defenses that we might dismiss during a day, but at night we're able to receive it. So I had a couple of dreams early 2022, and as I was pondering them and asking God, like, what are you speaking to me? It was actually during a time of fasting. And I find God really clarifies dreams for me during that time of things he's wanting to do with me that year, things he's wanting, you know, imparting to me, et cetera. So those are really sort of key times for dreams. And I had a couple of dreams, and as I was interpreting them, I'm like, wow, I really feel like this is saying he wants to heal me from, you know, like gluten and dairy. And I was like, okay, but that's super close to my heart, because I'm like, I don't believe I should be living like this. We are meant to be feasting, you know, anyway, all that sort of thing. Amen. You know, how much is that in the Bible, right? So, feasting. So I sent it over to a friend, somebody I know who's really good at, has a gift of dream interpretation. Talk about gifts of interpretation. She's got one for dream interpretation. And I didn't say anything. I just said, I've had a couple. Can you look at these? Tell me what you think. She comes back and she's like, you know what? I really think that God is wanting to heal you from gluten and dairy, from those restrictions. And I was like, it's not just me. So then I started really pressing in prayer. Okay, well, what does that even mean? What does that look like? What's my role in that? Do I need to be pressing in, you know, declaring it for it to come to pass? Or, you know, is it just going to be like one day, I don't know, suddenly I wake up and I mean, and I'm not. So the verse also, Matthew 10, 7 and 8, God clumps together. He's sending his disciples out. He says, as you go, proclaim the kingdom of God is near. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. He's saying it together. I feel like we often, at least growing up, I hear the go proclaim the news, and I don't really hear the other part. But the other part that he actually meant is normative Christianity. So I've been really just like burning with like, let's bring that here. Not just for me, but there are so many. I mean, we could probably each think of like 5 to 10 people off the top of our head, you know, without even trying, of really intense things. It's like, bring us healing. So dealing, you know, just praying through things like that and proclaiming it, and, you know, suddenly, and hearing lots of songs about it too. So just pressing into that. And then some of you know that we went, me and a couple other people here went to a conference about healing down in Redding, California. And it was a bit of a spur of the moment trip for me, but I felt a lot of like, there's something, it's good. I just felt a lot of peace. Like I need to be, not peace, but even unction. Like I need to be there. And so we did what we needed to figure it out, the logistics, and go down, drive down there. And It's not always about the place or the people, but sometimes there are certain sort of, I don't know, call them kairos timings that, you know, God's just coming together, like at this place, this person, this time, you know, he sets us up. And so I kind of felt like that's what this conference was for me. And so every night, so they're teaching you on healing about that. They're, you're doing activations and praying, and there's praying, you know, it was like a 3-day conference. They had prayers, at least I think in people would stand up at the every night and kind of give sort of a word of knowledge that they felt God was wanting to heal. And then those who fell into that category would go up and get prayed for by them. But then they'd have a whole bunch of team members just praying for anybody. So every night, and maybe multiple, maybe one or twice during the days. And so every time I went out, I'd figure out, okay, I'm sure gluten, dairy is going to fit in here somewhere, you know. So like anytime, you know, but regardless, I was going to get prayer. Not just for that, for a handful of other things as well, but so every night I got prayed for that. But the thing is, what the big thing with healing is, you say you have a, you know, broken arm and a cast, right? The point is they pray for you and then they want you to test things out, do something that you couldn't do before. And it's like, well, I mean, do you have a piece of bread? How do you test this out right here, right now? So it felt a little bit, quite deflating. I'm like, I'm just like this poor candidate here, you know, like can't even prove if it's working or not. We get ready to go home and we're driving. It's like 12-13 hour drive. Me and Andrea are the two drivers, so it's up to us. And I'm like, all right, girls, this is what I'm thinking. Actually, Carolee gave me, she's like, well, you want to separate them. You want to try one first and then the other, because, you know, how do you know? And I'm like, wisdom. So let's do that. So I'm like, okay, the lesser intolerance. So as far as the intolerance goes, like dairy is lesser, but it can still last up to 2 weeks for me of having symptoms. Insane, like just stuff with digestion, stuff with headaches, stuff with inflammation. Gluten can last 3, sometimes even 4 weeks for me. That had, like, it sucks the energy out of my body, it sucks the oxygen out of my brain, lots of inflammation, as in like a lot of foggy, a lot of lethargy, a lot of inflammation, and a lot of other things I'm not even going to. But it's bad. So I'm like, okay, going up here, I'm going to press into dairy. And the thing is, I don't want to just like a little tip, but, you know, like I want to know, is this working or is this not? So I'm like, some of the people in our car hadn't experienced In-N-Out. How many people know In-N-Out? All right, yeah. Yeah, at least some spattering throughout. So we're like, okay, we're going to try In-N-Out on the way up. And I'm like, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to have cheese, you know, with my hamburger. Not doing gluten yet, but, you know, cheese with a hamburger, you know, put cheese, the animal style, whatever, on my fries. And I'm going to get a milkshake. And we're going to go. And so I was like, this is the thing, though, Andrea. If I am out, it is all you driving home, and, you know, not to mention, like, rest stops every 5 minutes if I need, you know, it's like, this could be bad. I'm like, are you girls in or not? Because, you know, we're going. And so they are awesome. And they're like, yeah, we're in. Let's do this. So I did it. And nothing. And sometimes, like, dairy can take even up to 2 hours to sort of where I start to feel things, you know, my stomach in knots. And they kept like, Kite, how are you doing? Obviously, because I'm driving. They want to make sure they're safe, too. That was what was really happening. No. And I wasn't feeling anything. And I'm like, oh my goodness, it's like so much so that I forgot I even had dairy, like, which is a huge mindset shift. So I got home, and that whole week I had dairy after dairy. I went and bought ice cream. I'm like, let's go. My daughter's like, yay, you know, like totally excited. Ice cream every night, woo! You know, so, and nothing happened. And I was like, oh my goodness, nothing, no symptoms. And part of my analytical side is like, well, I still need to get this checked out. I need a test. I need a, you know, just confirmation. And then I was like, I'm already experiencing a week of absolutely no symptoms. If I get that test and it says, no, you have a dairy intolerance, what am I going to believe? You know? So I really felt that was from like man's wisdom, not God's wisdom. So I'm like, okay, this is proof in the pudding. I'm not experiencing anything. Now it's time for gluten. So my daughter and I went to, we have a Terra Buds, you know, across the way. And I'm like, all right, pick three goodies, three glutinous, as gluten as possible things. And let's go home and have a party. And she's jumping for joy. And so, you know, she picks things, we go, we have a little party. And again, gluten is the bigger one. So I am a little bit more nervous about this one. But, you know, so we hang out, we had all these fun things that we were planning to do. And afterwards, I'm finding like I don't feel a brick in my stomach, which is usually the first sign. It's like this, ugh, nothing. And so, you know, that night, I'm like, wow, I actually feel like I can eat food, which is another thing. Gluten completely takes, I have no like hunger pains, no nothing. I feel like I could not eat for the rest of the month and I'd be still like feeling like I just ate everything in the cabinet. Nothing. And so that whole entire week, again, I kept doing all tons of gluten, no symptoms. So I'm like, oh my goodness, I have no more symptoms. I have no more dairy or gluten restrictions. Like, this is amazing. But the craziest thing is I'm still working on the mindset shift. I still go to grab my gluten-free, dairy-free breakfast. I go to the store and I'm like, okay, but I need to get, you know, I usually do goat's milk. I need to do goat's milk. And it's like, oh, wait, I don't actually. But then it's a weird internal struggle of like, well, but maybe just in case. Or what about this? So I'm actually finding that now, even though I've well proven it, and I'm daily, I daily choose to have something of each, you know, dairy and gluten just to remind myself and keep it there. The biggest struggle for me right now is shifting my mind and being like, no, this is true. This did happen. But anyway, it is a huge praise. And I've been praying to you, like, God, bring this healing now. Bring it now. Bring this for me, for others. But let the starts of it just be an indication that there is going to be outpouring of it. Two things at the conference, they said, sometimes if you don't share your story, you may be preventing healing in others, because more healing comes with expectation and intention. So I'm setting intention and expectation right now. This happened to me. It is very real. It is the very tip of the iceberg. And there is outpouring. I do believe that God is wanting to pour out to us, but it's stepping in with intention and obedience.
Thanks, Kai. I will say amen to the fact that these things are real and that they still happen. And I know I'm not the only person that believes that. I've experienced it myself, and I was kind of praying about this week when we were inviting Kai to come and share. I would like to see a show of hands from those of you who believe that you have experienced miraculous healing in some way. So just now look around the room, okay? Somebody's been holding out on us during testimony time because this is happening. I think the difficulty is it can feel, at least in my life, it can feel a little unpredictable. But God does these things. And so right now, if there are people who are struggling with some kind of illness or thing that they need healed, I'm wondering if you would raise your hands, and if the people around you, you'll have to raise them high enough for other people to see, otherwise they won't know to gather around you. But go ahead and raise your hands, and the people around you can gather around, and we're just going to pray for you to be healed. I see at least one hand, two, three. So you can see the hands. If you see a hand and nobody is around that person, could you move toward them and lay your hand on them? We're going to pray together. So a couple of scriptural instructions. So you've heard me say many times, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we believe that there is no sickness in heaven. And so we're just praying that God would do the same thing here that he does there, right? Likewise, Jesus said that the sign of the Spirit on him was that he would heal the sick, and his disciples did the same. So let's pray, and I will close this momentarily. So you're welcome to pray out loud. or to pray silently. And I will close this. Lord Jesus, thank you that in your earthly ministry, everywhere you went, you healed the sick. Then you sent your disciples to do the same thing. And so, Lord God, we're figuring out what that would look like, but we know that this is something that you can do. It's something that you want to do. It's something that you want to do through us. And so we pray, Lord God, that you would heal these, our brothers and sisters, who are in need. We recognize, Lord, that you have an intention, Lord, that we would be whole in soul, spirit, and body. And so we pray that you would give us a taste of that future in which our bodies are whole, in which we are healed and can walk in the wholeness that you have provided for us. Lord God, we recognize that everything depends on you, that you are the healer. And we pray that you would do that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we do have a few minutes for you. Thank you, by the way, Evan. Appreciate that. We do have a few minutes for you to share your other stories of God's faithfulness. If there are a couple of people, yeah, Tunjai, come on up.
Hi, everybody. Actually, my story is very long, but I would like to summarize. It is related to politics, but I don't want to go into politics, but I have to say that I came from Turkey, and now you know what is happening there. By the way, I would like to thank all Canadians for their generous aid, actually. I know that there are many stuff sent to Turkey for the earthquake survivors. They need, actually. But, we have a lot of casualty there. More than 50,000 people died, not because of earthquake, because of the mismanagement of the government, because government doesn't care anybody but their own power. Actually, they have been governing Turkey more than 20 years, and I was against always this mentality, because what they are doing just to exploit the belief of people, because they argued that they are Muslim and they got too much power because of that, because people believed that they are really in the sake of God, but this is not like that. So in my private life, I was struggling, and I got my share, because I had a good job in Turkey at a top position. I was working in an international bank, semi-governmental. I had a diplomatic position there, but the management has changed. The Turkish president came in, and he was, of course, good connections with the higher people, politicians. And then they knew that I was not one of them, and that he started mobbing on me. He wanted me to resign, actually. I didn't do, because I had a family and I have to keep going my job and everything. Then, based on a false allegation, they fired me. Not only me, there were four people like me, the HR director, the general counsel of the bank, and one executive secretary who actually knew some of the corruptions. Because, you know, since this government, most of the institutions in Turkey corrupted. So because they are getting money to keep their power strong every day. And so they want us to leave the bank, but I didn't do. I resisted. And upon false accusations, they fired me. Furthermore, they captured my pension funds. And as a result, actually, I knew some of the things about the bank. I knew that how corrupted they are, and they caused some against the bank. I knew that. But I didn't get it around, actually, because I was just struggling in terms of law. But also they offered me to resign, and they told me that they could give my redemption, pension funds as a redemption of my resignment. But it is very, very unfair, you know. And then at that time, I was attending another church in Istanbul, and I felt really the support of Jesus, and I decided to resist and fight with this injustfulness. And I went to court. I found a good lawyer and went to court, and I opened two court cases against the bank. And then I came here, but my court lawsuit started, and I went back to Turkey to follow and to support my lawyer. But there was a trap for me, because one day after my arrival to Istanbul, the police came into my apartment, and they took me to a police station to get some interview. I just explained that I was the one who took this people to the court, not the guilty one, but they captured my telephone again based on the false accusations, because they argued that I would disclose the secrets of the bank. So it was false, and they got my telephone, but I got a very tough time, because they could have access to my emails through telephone. And they could have seen some of the secrets there shared by some people, because actually I was thinking of getting their corruption around to some of the journalists. And if they could have found that, I would be in a very difficult position. And I got really, really terrified. I was very anxious. But actually, thanks to Tony, Judy, and Mr. Berry, they prayed for me too much. And then I got the support of Jesus, so they couldn't found anything. Now I am in the position to take them to the court, but I am still waiting, because I have two court cases going on. By the way, I won the previous one. The court just decided that my firing was based on false accusation. Now just I am trying to get my pension funds back. So the second one is going on, but I believe that I strong, because my lawyer told me that the first one was very important, because there is no sense for them to keep my pension funds, because I was fired based on injustice, you know. So I'm struggling with this mentality with the help of Jesus, and thanks God, Jesus helped me, and also I thank for the support of this church and everybody who prayed. Also, Linda prayed too much. Thank you. Thank you for your help.
Thanks, Sandra. All right. Yeah, praise God.